in studio with me right now, we have none other than the infamous Jim Page. Jim?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
Good to be here.
So you're in town. You're going to be playing at the Attic, right?
Tomorrow night. With Michael O'Connelly, who, in my history anyway, in the history of music in this part of the world, if you go back, Michael's like a main through line that runs, a current that runs through the whole scene. So I recommend people come down and check it out.
Cool. Well, you brought your guitar here.
I did.
Do you want to open up with a tune, or we got a new album too?
I think we should open up. If you open up with that first tune on that CD, okay. There.
This is off Head Full of Pictures. What's the first track called?
The first track is called Petroleum Bonaparte.
Okay. I wonder what that's about. All right.
We'll
hang on.
Out.
We got some brand new Jim Page here, and he'll be playing live here in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Hey George, I'm talking to you. You're bringing me disgrace, pretending to be my president. You were never even elected in the first place. Spending all of my money on that really ugly war and lying to everybody about the reasons that it's for. Well, it's oil money, George. It's been that way right from the start. Petroleum Bonaparte. Hey George, what's the body count? Does anybody know? When they're brown and foreign, do you bother or do you just let them go? And when the coffins come back home with our daughters and our sons, do you think the families give them a medal and ask them for another one? Well, it's kind of cold that way, isn't it, George? It's in that way right from the start. Petroleum Bonaparte. Hey George! It's not funny, but I don't think you're very smart. In fact, I think you're kind of stupid. You just play acting the part like a psychopathic puppet with a pocket full of knives. Kind of feels good sometimes, doesn't it? Cutting up people's lives. It's a cynical proposition. It's been that way right from the start. Petroleum Bonaparte. You always did want to make a lot of noise. Now you can see yourself up there on the mountainside with the other bully boys. Right there in the spotlight of the world for everybody to see. Well, there's more than one way, George, to go down in history. And it's been headed that way right from the start. Petroleum Bonaparte. Hey, George, I hate to tell you, but you're headed for a fall. Your engine's overheating and you're way beyond recall. Somebody cut the brake lines and your steering wheel just spins. And there's a Waterloo with your name on it coming up around the bend. It's a dead-end proposition, George. It's in that way right from the start. Petroleum Bonaparte. That's right, George. Petroleum.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, Jim Page, brand new, Petroleum Bonaparte. So you want to tell us a little bit about that tune?
Well, the title popped into my head one morning. I'd just gotten up ahead and haven't had my coffee yet. And all of a sudden, Petroleum Bonaparte popped into my head, and I started laughing. And I laughed for, probably the next 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And I figured I better just do something about this. So I wrote that song. And the song itself, I guess, is not as funny as the title. But then what are you supposed to do with... a little gang of, psychopaths who are wreaking such havoc on the planet. The humor only lasts just so long. So the song is basically talking directly to George. Like if you had 3.5 minutes alone with him, like what would you say to this little twerp? You know, you might say something like that. There's a million things. I saw it. I did a gig in Seattle not too long ago with a woman from Iraq. And somebody in the audience asked her during the Q&A section. What would she say to Condoleezza Rice if she had the opportunity to? And the woman looked with a totally, completely serious, straight face, said, I wouldn't even talk to her.
Hmm.
You gave me the opportunity to, I would not say a word to her. I wouldn't talk to her. Which I thought was interesting. That's like the ultimate disrespect. I wouldn't even talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
It seems there's a lot of musicians nowadays that are coming out with a lot of anti-war, anti-Bush music. We just played that Neil Young. And Robert Cray's got an album out where he does a song about the soldiers and the war.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great song. And others. And it seems to be a growing theme these days.
Well, it should be. I mean, when you think about it, you mentioned earlier when we were off the air talking about that band, acoustic band.
Devil Makes Three.
Devil Makes Three, yeah. Devil Makes Three, how they had to move to Sacramento so they could live. I took that to mean it's too expensive here to like live.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, that works on a musician's production. You know, on the art that they produce. You know, because it is your life, it is your livelihood, and you need to pay those bills. So we're just like anybody else. We live in the world. You know, and everybody talks about this stuff all the time on the buses and hanging around the malls and whatever. But you're not making your living off chit chat on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
but you are making. I am making my living off the songs I sing. So unless you can figure out a way to do it, a lot of people won't do anything until it gets real dire. Because how do I make a living?
Mm.
You know, I mean, things have changed a little bit now. But there was a time when if you sang about some of this stuff, they'd come and pat you on the head, real condescending, like real condescending. Mm. And you know, and they'd raise their eyebrows and they'd get this like pitiful look on their face, and they'd say, "The '70s are over."
Yeah,
you know, I was like, "What in the world are you talking about?" That's what they'd say, you know. And now it's like, okay, I guess it's okay. It's like adults can talk about this stuff now.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
things are changing. Yeah,
yeah, it is definitely. Are you still playing on the streets every now and then, or?
Yeah, but pretty much only in Seattle. You know, we got a little Buskers Guild up there that we started, and we've got, this is the fifth annual, and I think it's the only one on the West Coast. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you know better. Buskers Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fifth annual one coming up in the middle of September here. Yeah, we started our little group, a little Pike Market Performers Guild, about 5-6 years ago. And the first thing we decided to do was do this Busker Festival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really raised the profile and acceptability of busking, which is an old, you know, perfectly respectable, traditional way of playing music. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there shouldn't be any problem with it, but society being what it is,
mm-hmm.
they see you out there, they figure you're either begging or you've got head problems or something. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah, they try to do
kind of like pirate radio.
Yes, I guess so. So, you got a tune for us here?
Yeah, I wanted to do this one because first thing I saw when I walked in the room was Leonard. There's two pictures of Leonard, one hand drawn there on the bulletin board, and the other one's a poster. Leonard Peltier, I'm talking about. And, I remember slapping up, see that free Leonard Peltier bumper sticker you got there?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember slapping one of those up on the roof, on the ceiling of the Meeting Place. The Meeting Place was a pub I used to play at in Dublin in 79, 80, 81, 82, back in there. And I put one up on the ceiling of that pub. And I just want to do this because, you know, America goes around pretending that everybody else is, you know, corrupt but us, and everybody else has political prisoners but us, and everybody preys on their population but us. And in fact, so far as I know, Leonard is the longest standing incarcerated political prisoner, at least of any notoriety he's been inside since, I think it's 77. So that's quite a while.
Yeah.
And, so I'll do this. This is called Song for Leonard Peltier. I wrote this back in 77. Loan me a minute, let me borrow your ear. I'll sing you a song about Leonard Peltier. He's gone so long in a federal jail, the innocent victim of a tangled tale. In South Dakota, where the fear was thrown, the presidents watched from a mountain of stone. They said all people were free to roam. There was a struggle for freedom in the Indian home. How many have gone before? And tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian wars?
company spoke to the high command. We need the D's to the Indian land to dig for oil and uranium ore. Maybe have to start a little Indian war. The orders came from away on high, and if it was a job for the FBI, it won't be hard. All we'll have to do is just cause a little trouble and follow it through. In Oglala, where the spirit did dwell, there was a time they remember well. Women and children were gathered there when the wind blew a warning through the whispering air. And Leonard Peltier was a one of those who came to the call when the time arose. And dangerous strangers are prowling around, bringing trouble to the reservation grounds. And that was when the agents made their play in a gunshot battle on a deadly day. And three men died in Lakota land, two FBI and an Indian man. How many have gone before? Tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian war. Joe Stunts was a man that died that day, but the eyes of the law didn't see it that way. All they cared about was their own kind. I'm gonna get somebody for a capital crime. The charge was set for homicide, but Lennon got away to the Canada side, where he lived for a while in a northern town, till they came up and got him and they brought him back down. Judge and the jury, they both agreed, 2 times murder in the first degree. They pounded the gavel and they rang on the bell, 2 times life in a federal cell. Citations came from Washington, congratulations on a job well done. 2 agents gone is a mighty price, but if you want something bad, you gotta sacrifice. They took a Leonard Peltier up away in chains, all of those years to suffer in pain. Oh, but all of those years makes a warrior strong, and the struggle of the people goes on. How many have gone before? Tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian war. And so it's been since days of old, when Custer died for a mountain of gold. But times have changed and passed him by, he's been replaced with the FBI. Oh, it's all so easy to weep and moan for a warfare fought so far from home. You can preach a peace from a righteous stand while they struggle for peace on the Indian land. When Joe Stunts was lower down, the wind did blow with the mighty sound. The answer came in the driving rain, and this man will not have died in vain. For the hollow power of the lock and key ain't nothing to the power of the raging sea. The lightning strikes in the angry skies that puts the power into people's eyes. Oh, the weather is building to a mighty storm, and the words in the wind that come to warn are once more spoken to your ear. Only this time the name is Leonard Peltier. How many have gone before? Tell me how many more must be lost to the Indian war.
Jim Page live here, Free Radio Santa Cruz Studios. Leonard Peltier song. You got us another tune there. tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM.
Well, listening to the radio, listening all day. It's a free radio Santa Cruz, what more can I say? It don't matter if I'm hungry, don't matter if I'm broke, don't matter if I ain't even got much to smoke, cause it's the radio, and it's free, and it's just Skid and Mark and me. So if you got a radio, and if you got a dial, just keep moving that thing around till you find something that makes you smile. And then you know it's probably him, and you know it's probably me, and you know it's probably Santa Cruz, and it's probably free. Yeah, it's a radio. That's the way it ought to be. It's Santa Cruz, and the radio is free. You know, they said the airwaves were for the people. I wonder what happened to that. Good old Mother Liberty somehow manages to stick things under her hat. And good old Uncle George manages to wink with that blind eye and say, listen to me, people, I love you. As he tells another line, everybody says, oh, that's right. I'll pick my locks and turn on TV and tune it into Fox. And I'll get the news. And I believe just what they say, and I won't listen to pirate radio, because those people are pirates anyway. I'll just listen to the mainstream, Michael Savage, Michael Medved, and I believe almost everything that those people said, but this is the best. This is the best that you'll ever see. It's Santa Cruz, and this radio is free, and it's in the basement. And it's Skid, Mark, Bob, and me. So keep your radio dial tuned. Don't let it stray too far. Whether you're living in a luxury hotel, pent-up suite, or living in your car. Free Radio Santa Cruz, man. That's the only way to fly. Free Radio Santa Cruz. Skid, Mark, Bob, and I.
That's 101 FM, freakradio.org. Wow, that one wrote specially for us.
Yeah, yeah, I worked on that one all night long.
That's great. We got Jim Page here in the studio. He's playing tomorrow, May 18th.
That's right.
At the Attic.
Oh, I know what I would do. I figured I would do this because I think Michael might be out there listening. I'm not sure. He said he was. Okay, myself and Michael O'Connelly. Now, like I say, I'm old enough to know when Santa Cruz was Santa Cruz and Highway 17 was Highway 17 and there was no chicken wall down there in the middle. Okay, if you veered into oncoming traffic, you veered into oncoming traffic, not just in their direction, but into them. And it was very interesting around here in those days. And there were scenes in Santa Cruz, scenes in Half Moon Bay, scenes in San Francisco, scenes in Palo Alto. And there was a scene in Los Gatos, Saratoga, over in there that went into San Jose and came over here, too. You know, when I was in that scene, and Chris Ramey was in that scene, and Michael O'Connelly was in that scene. He's playing there tomorrow night, and he's like, you know, he's like somebody that people ought to see. You ought to see this guy. You ought to see this guy play. You ought to hear what he does. And this is a song I wrote about a buddy of all of ours, I guess. He became famous for different reasons. His name is Billy Dean Andres, and he had his own way of dealing with military conscription. You know, those folks. He was drafted back when, that's back in the 60s. And I remember we all looked at each other and like, well, geez, Billy Dean in the Army? It's like, that was hard to picture, you know. What the hell's he going to do in the Army? What are they going to do with him, you know? So this tells a story about that whole thing back then. His wild electric eyeballs and his cigarette machine. He could play that old guitar like no man you've ever seen. He was Southern, he was Central. He was easy, he was mean. He was Saratoga Billy. Called him Billy Dean.
sound that strings like silver, or a dead man in the shade. And it's many a lonesome midnight soul that came to where his songs are played. He was a rambler and a gambler, and you could not tie him down. As well they do remember in that Saratoga town. Well, one fine day a letter came from the army that did say, we'd like to make a man of you in the old American way. So he got all of his things together and he rode off down the track. Oh, but 3 weeks later, Billy Dean was back. He stayed away so very long, in trouble deep he grew. And his friends, they all got nervous, but there was nothing he would do. Until one day they found him, he was playing his guitar. They put the handcuffs on him, they took him away in a government car. While working on the highway, on the stockade crew, he saw a car of people that was only passing through. He waved an arm to signal, and they stopped to let him in. And when the guard turned his head around, Billy Dean was gone again. Well, then the army fathers, well, they all got so mad. That Saratoga Billy, who had done bad. They puffed and they sputtered, and they almost lost their minds. For in Saratoga country, Billy Dean was hard to find. Well, it's been many years now since I seen him last, and it just ain't got the time, oh, to spend on the past. Yeah, but sometimes I wonder, sometimes I think, that when it's late in the evening, or I've had too much to drink, with his wild electric eyeballs and his cigarette machine, he could play that old guitar like no man you ever seen. He was Southern, he was Central, he was easy, he was mean. He was Saratoga Billy, and they called him Billy Dean. He was Saratoga Billy, and they called him
Jim Page live here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Was that called Saratoga Billy?
That's called Saratoga Billy, yeah.
That's a great song. Yeah. I really like
he
that
He hitchhiked his way off, you know what I mean? I mean, why not?
Yeah, why not? Or hop the rails, one of the two. We've got a bunch of those hobos around here. Yeah, they used to do a show, a hobo music show.
Oh, yeah, Lee.
Lee?
Yeah, you know Lee.
Yeah.
Hobos
in
hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably out there somewhere. Probably away from a radio, though. You
know? More than likely. Sometimes he's not. He listens a lot. I know.
Okay, well, hey,
he's got an office in town.
He does.
And he still does the Hobos from Hell zine.
Okay.
And all that as well.
Hobos from Hell with an office. What is this world coming to?
Yes.
Hobos with an office. Bikers with cell phones. Oh, my God. You know, and I have a tuning machine. What's this world coming to? This is so weird.
So you're still living in Seattle these
days,
huh?
Yeah.
How's the scene out there?
Oh, it's okay. What can you say? Seattle isn't what it used to be, but then I suppose nothing is. Seattle has got too much money too fast. You know, we got like the richest private citizen on the planet live just outside of Seattle. Might as well be Seattle for all practical purposes. You know, and then, well, Paul Allen is either the third or the fifth, depending on which, you know, poll you read or whatever. But the guy to watch out for is Paul Allen. He's buying up everything and rebuilding it in his image. My theory is that he wants it to be that, you know, one of these days, if you were to go up in a space shuttle and circle the globe or something and get a space eye view of Seattle, it would look like his face, like a profile or something. Because it is just insane. He's taking everybody for a ride. We're paying for all of his projects. And you can't get anywhere.
Is he mayor or developer?
Oh, he's got more power than that, man.
Wow.
No, he's just got money. He's got money. He's got a development corporation called Vulcan Enterprises.
Vulcan,
yes. They think big. You know. And you know, they buy up buildings and then they get them condemned and they tear them down and they rebuild them, build new stuff, and, you know, that makes it look like
Starbucks or something.
Sort of thing, yeah. Oh yeah, we've also got Starbucks.
Yes, of course.
Of course we can rub it in. So, you know, I mean, Seattle's, you know, whatever. We'll see how long we last.
Yeah.
In Seattle, but, you know.
I have to interject here.
And who are we talking with?
President Wu, my name's Katie.
He's a premier, actually.
I'm a hobo. But when Premier Wu of China was in Seattle just a couple weeks ago, he didn't care about meeting any of the government people. His state dinner was with Microsoft and Paul Allen and Boeing and all those guys.
He was wooing big business, you might say.
And right. that was the state dinner was out at Paul Allen's house or at Mike, you know, Gates's. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess in a smaller level, it's kind of happening here a lot with downtown changing. Looks like we're busting out into another tune here.
Well, here's just a little comment on what we've been talking about.
Okay.
Now, some people have too much money. They wear it like a pair of pants. They say there's room for everybody, but you never get a chance. You can't ride that elevator. You can't climb those stairs. Because those people have too much money up there. Now, some people have too much money. And they drive it around like a car. They never pick up hitchhikers unless they know who they are. They all belong to the same club and they all wear those rings. Those people have too much money, that's the thing. If too much money puts somebody under the bridge, you know it's like water. You scoop it up, the level goes down. And if too much money can choke a gift horse, all you want is a drink, but you fall in and drown. You know that French lady meant well when she said they ought to just go eat cake crumbs. She had no idea where poverty came from. Silver spoons and glass slippers, you know, their minds are just a mess. Those people have too much money, I guess. Now some people have too much money and I think it's time to make a change. Get some checks and balances going in the game.
Get a minimum wage and a maximum wage, too, and let the chips fall. Because those people have too much money, that's all. That's right. Some people have too much money, that's all.
All right, Jim Page here. While you were singing there, I had two calls, and we got a winner for the two tickets there. Hello.
Excellent.
You there?
Woohoo! Yeah.
A happy man. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Bob. Free Radio is really living up to its name.
Good. Excellent.
Thank you.
And I guess I wanted to ask you, Jim, if you had any songs or thoughts about kind of, I'm sure you do, about domestic spying and local activities of local police departments. We've had some things happen here recently where we've had the local Santa Cruz Police Department infiltrating community groups, actually a group that was organizing a parade for New Year's Eve, uh-huh. things like that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure in Seattle there's been a history of different things like that. But I just, wanted to ask you if you had any thoughts about any of that or anything that you might think of musically in regards to that.
Okay, well, thank you. Would lead me into a song, actually. But, it's been happening in Seattle. Some people have brought lawsuits, and I think that's happening all over the country, too, lawsuits about that sort of thing, which is good. It puts it into the public. It puts it into people's laps in the public, you know. This is supposed to be, after all, the land of encouraged free thinking and that sort of thing. And,
right.
you know, we're supposed to question and doubt, and we're supposed to be able to assemble. We're supposed to be – it's supposed to be founded on people's assemblies, for God's sake.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we're supposed to be opposing fascism, and if we have fascism rising, then I think we need to stand against it. I keep thinking, I'm probably interrupting you, but there's a quotation that keeps coming back to me, because I don't think it's going to get any better right away. I think it's going to get worse, at least for a while. And do you remember George Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he said something once that really I think should be like a bumper sticker or something. It's one sentence. It's like three words. And it's like, it is awesomely clear, and it puts it all right there. It says, he said, revolution is illegal. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's right. What I want to have done here is against their interest. I mean, they're going to do more of this. I don't know what to say. Sometimes it's like the more information they get on us, the kind of more comedic it becomes, because they lose things, they cross-file it. I don't know. It's horrific. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do except, can I do a song?
Okay.
Yes, you
great.
Can.
And okay, I'll do that.
I look forward to seeing you at the attic. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Grant. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, this is, to me, it's like part of a big, huge, long line of stuff. And this is also on the CD, but I'll do it solo here, just for argument's sake. From the prison in Iraq, the man on the box with his hands on the wires and his head in a sack, the man in the hallway with his neck tied to a leash line, the cigarette grins at the soldiers giving up the high sign. Well, I wish I could believe it when they said it was an aberration, just a few bad apples in an otherwise smooth operation. There's just too many cracks in that tired old roof. And now everybody gets to see Uncle Sam's got blood all over his brand new shoes. His brand new shoes, and there's something about us that we don't want to have to face. And there's a killer instinct deep in this American race. Just ask anyone who's been on the other end of that leash. They'll tell you. Selective memory loss is like a panacea. Big city cops took an immigrant man named Abner Louima, and they brought him downtown, and they sodomized him with a toilet plunger. And
never would have known, but somebody talked, and the story came out from under. Now I know what you're thinking, cops ain't soldiers. But sometimes the line gets blurred, and they've been scratching each other's back for a while now, I've heard. When there's a war around the world, you know that there's a war at home. And they will do whatever they want to you when they get you alone. Get you alone, and there's something about us that we don't want to have to face. And there's a killer instinct deep in this American race. You just ask anyone who's been on the other end of that leash, and they'll tell you. Wanna really understand that you gotta go back a ways, back to the founding mythologies of what they call the good old days, the Indian Wars and the Wild West, and guns in everybody's hand. The violence was good then, and it gave us a motherland. Now sometimes things got out of control and they crossed that unspeakable line. Cutting off body parts and wearing them around, I guess soldiers just do that sometimes. Well, use your imagination. You know that they were feeling good. You know they would have taken pictures if they could. Cause there's something about us that we don't want to have to face. And there's a killer instinct deep in this American race. Just ask anyone who's been on the other end of that leash, and they'll tell you. We got 2 million people in prison right now, and we're gonna have more. And I shudder to think about what I've heard goes on behind those doors. It's just the worst kind of sex and violence, and we know that's a fact. But nobody cares about it too much until it shows up in Iraq, and I guess that's the problem. We don't seem to be able to make a connection. We think we're some kind of chosen people. We're waiting for a resurrection, but our Savior is a con man, and he's looking out for number one. He'll give you $24 worth of junk jewelry and take it back at the point of a gun. At the point of a gun, and there's something about us that we don't want to have to face. And there's a killer instinct deep in this American race. Just ask anyone who's been on the other end of that leash. They'll tell you. Cause there's something about us that we don't want to have to face. And there's a killer instinct deep in this American race. Just ask anyone who's been on the other end of that leash. They'll tell you. Cause there's something about us.
Jim Page live here, Free Radio Santa Cruz. What's that one called?
That's called Something About Us.
Something About Us.
Yeah.
Wow.
I also forgot to say, gosh, you know, it's trite, but I think it's true. If they really start surveilling everybody like that and keeping tabs, then that means we're effective.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or if we're not effective right now, we sure are able to be. You know, we're getting really close to being effective. Otherwise, why would they bother? I mean, I know, you know, surveillance is a big business. I keep telling myself that, too. It's like we were driving through San Francisco and we had you know, you see the speed limit sign. And then there's there's a sign that says camera enforced.
Mm-hmm.
A camera enforced. Give me a break. And like, there's the camera. There's two of them. There's one like it was a radar thing to see if you're going too fast or running a red light. And then the other one actually takes the picture of you in the car and your driver's, you know, and the car license number and everything. I mean, it is insane. You know,
First of all, that it could be so insulting that I would have to bow and kowtow and pay money to a machine, mm-hmm. an expletive deleted machine. And the other thing that, I mean, obviously it puts people out of work, doesn't it? Not that I mind cops being put out of work. Let's get that said. But still, you know, it's like I have to, like, you know, my life is now being monitored by machines.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me.
One thing I always thought about, though, so they take your picture and then I guess they send you a ticket in the mail.
Right.
So basically what I could do is take a picture of myself filling out a check and send that to them. What do you think?
Well, I heard about a guy that did that, and then they sent him in return. They sent him a picture of a pair of handcuffs. I don't know what happened to the damn thing. I mean, a speeding ticket. You don't go to jail for speeding tickets. Maybe you do. I don't know.
It depends, I guess. One of our local indie news, what is it, Independent Media Center?
Yeah, IMCC.
IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz. One of our programmers, Bradley, does Indie Newswire show on Mondays. He did a whole tour. The Free School did this whole surveillance tour, and they walked downtown, and they went and showed everybody where all the cameras were.
Nice.
And he took pictures, like 100, I don't know how many pictures are in there of you know, bars or, you know, street corners. Everywhere there's, you know, one of these little tiny surveillance cameras, yeah. Everywhere downtown. It was,
you know,
pretty amazing.
I would think that a little can of spray paint would do the job.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to. Oh, of course, you would have to be cagey. But I mean, come on, you know, it is cagey about it or whatever. Cagey, be.
Can you hear me? So we got Jim Page in here. If anybody has any questions, you can call. The phone lines are open, 427-3772. Unfortunately, we gave away the tickets. Grant gets to go see Jim Page tomorrow, May 18th, at the Attic at 8 p.m. with Michael O'Connelly. You got to head down there and listen to some great music. I noticed on your new album, you're playing with Billy Oske.
Yeah.
Is that how you're going to...
Billy Oske, yeah.
Oske.
Yeah.
And you played with these guys in the past. It's some great
I did. Let me see that then. There must be something else on there. That'd be really cool.
Sure.
Yeah, I did an album called Music from Big Red, which was with,
yeah,
with Billy and Mark. And then for this one, it's like I've known Scott Law for a long time. Scott used to live in Seattle. And he moved down to Portland. And damn, I did a gig with him and Billy. And it was like magic. It's like, oh my god, this has to be. So we brought Scott in, and the trio became a quartet. And
guys sound really good together.
Oh, there's some gorgeous stuff on this. I'm just trying to think of what might be a
here. I'd rather be dancing.
You'd rather be hearing is what you're trying to say. Okay, number four. Now let me introduce this a little bit.
Okay.
Here, this song is about Rachel Corrie. Rachel Corrie was from Olympia, Washington. And she went to Palestine as part of, she went to Rafah, to be exact, as part of the International Solidarity Movement, the ISM, feeling that there must be something that she could do as a nonviolent activist. Rather than sit and watch from, you know, several thousand miles away, she could do something, and she did. And one day she was out there. I mean, most people probably know the story, but just to set it up just in case. One day she was out there. A bulldozer was being sent, militarized Caterpillar tractor bulldozer. The Caterpillar tractor company has a contract with the government of Israel to provide to their defense forces, to the army, militarized Caterpillar tractor bulldozers. They are as big as a house, and they've got armor plating all over the place, and you could lob mortars at them and nothing would happen. I mean, these things are tanks. You don't just dig roads with them. They're all for one purpose only, and that's to bother people. And it was going in, this Caterpillar tractor was going in to demolish the house of a pharmacist. And she was standing there with her bullhorn and her bright orange vest, the kind that they used to work on the highways with. So you could see her for miles. And she was yelling through the bullhorn. She was standing with the bright orange vest, "Stop, do not demolish this house." And the guy ran over her, killed her.
Wow.
Okay, now in Denver, Colorado, a couple of years back, I met the young woman who was the medic who was there when she was run over and killed. And I want to say her name was Amy. Man, I hope I'm right. Either that or Ann. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. And I'd love to find her again so I can get her a copy of the song, because I did not have the song at that particular time. But the interesting thing about Amy, or Anne, I'm sorry, is that she was taught how to be a medic, a street medic, a political activist street medic by a guy named Ron Rosen. Ron Rosen, Vietnam veteran against the war, was a medic at Wounded Knee in 1973. Mm. That's when he began to be a political activist street medic, was at Wounded Knee. He was one of a handful of people who were given honorary citizenship in the independent Oglala Nation. Okay, him and these other guys from the Vietnam Veterans Against the War. He trained her. So there's like this line of descendants. Okay, so anyway, I wrote this song, and the lines in the song, it's written, you know, I took the liberty of writing from her voice, and lines in the song, the way she speaks, are taken from her letters. They're easily accessible to people. You can find them on the web, and some of them have even been published in a little pamphlet form. Mm-hmm. And she said at one point in a letter home to her mother, she said, "I'd rather be dancing to Pat Benatar." But wow. Somebody has to do this, and here I am. So anyway, that's the song.
Here we go.
I was always the one. I could never stand idly by and watch while the bullies beat up on the weaker ones. I had to do something to try, and I never gave up on people, that we could be better somehow. Morality's compass, you gave it to me, and I still follow it now. Well, I couldn't stop thinking about it, I couldn't get it out of my mind. The pictures, the stories, the plight of the people in the occupied Palestine, and how my government makes me complicit with the political aid that they send. So I packed up my bags and I headed to Rafah to work with the ISN. And I'd rather be dancing and falling in love. But if I can just watch from a distance, then what am I made of? Mama, these people are so good to me. They treat me like I'm one of their own. They feed me and see to my needs and let me sleep in their homes. And Papa, their lives are so hard. The gunshots every night, the strip searches, roadblocks, humiliations. Papa, it just isn't right. Well, I can feel my privilege around me. It's there in my American face. I could wave my passport around like a flag, and I would be safe in this place. For these child soldiers of Israel, they look like the boys back home. And if it wasn't for American money, they'd have to leave these people alone. And I'd rather be dancing, dancing to Pat Benatar. Oh, but somebody has to do something about it, and here we are. Coming today, they're like tanks with bulldozer blades. The name on the side says Caterpillar, and that means they're American made. Well, I am American too, and I'll be where everybody can see. So if they wanna run over those houses today, they're gonna have to run over me. Well, it's dangerous taking a stand, but it's dangerous running away. Sometimes you have to face up to the danger, there is just no other way. But there are such beautiful dreams I have seen in the eyes of a child. If I can just make one little difference, then I think my life is worthwhile. And I'd rather be dancing, but instead I'm saying goodbye. But we'll meet again when it's over, don't cry. And I'd rather be dancing, surely we'd all rather be Someday we'll dance in a world that's peaceful and free.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, Jim Page. That's off the latest album, track called I'd Rather Be Dancing. We just had Palestine Awareness Week here not too long ago, and there was a lot of speakers and Palestinian folks coming and showing their culture. And because there's just blackouts in the media. All you hear about is suicide bombings. Basically.
Oh, I know. It's like, well, that's, I think it was one of the early firebrand leaders over there had a technique, and he called it provoke and respond. Mm-hmm. And it's not new. It's just playground bully stuff. And what they do is they bother you until you respond. And if they've taken everything away from you so you don't have much, the only way you're going to be able to respond is going to be pretty nasty, like blowing yourself up. And once you do that, then they point the finger and say, see? And once you respond in the way that they want you to, then they can go in and start taking your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the name of it or the number of it, but there's a law that was passed in America here, and I think the late 1700s, maybe early 1800s, and it changed everything. It changed everything. It opened up a whole new world to these people. It said that if a people are living in a land or on a land, and they are not taking care of it, they are letting it go fallow, so on, it can be taken from them. If they are taking care of it, fine. You know what I'm saying? So this was put into, if I'm remembering correct, I'd have to look it up. It's a But if I remember correctly, that allowed them. I mean, this allows me to basically, I can bother you to the point where you let your grass go to seed and you let your windows get dirty and all that kind of stuff. Just by bothering you, I can do a number on your head. You'll behave like that, and then I can take your house. You know, I mean, I can bother you until you get nasty at me, and then I can say, see, he's nasty. And that's provoke and respond, and that's what they've been doing. And that's why people like to talk only about suicide bombing, not about why somebody might do that.
See? Jim Page in studio here, Free Radio.
I saw a woman's face in the paper. She was from Iraq. I was looking at her. She was looking right back, and her eyes still haunt me. Over all of the distance, such a human insistence, demanding answers and asking questions. How can you do this? And why don't you do something to stop it? These briefcase killers, these bureaucrat thugs, pushers of bullets and runners of drugs, these colonels and statesmen, these newspaper drones, this idiot system, this heart of stone. Don't look, don't see, don't hear, don't think. Sit back, relax, have a smoke, take a drink, go to work, come home, watch TV, watch the game. Let them breed dead babies in your ignorant name. And her eyes still haunt me over thousands of miles, millions of agony, reaching, reminding, and tearing the blankness. How can you do this? And why don't you do something to stop it? Are we just pretending, depending on them, to give us excuses when the going gets grim? To pass resolutions to make it all right so that in spite of everything we can still sleep at night? Well, if we don't do what has to be done, we will be criminal ancestors. Everyone, criminal ancestors, doomed to the dust, and whatever happens, it'll happen to us. And her eyes still haunt me, screaming the silence and all the complicity of these American hands. And I have to answer when she asks me, how can you do this? And why don't you do something to stop it? I saw a woman's face in the paper. She was from Iraq. I was looking at her. She was looking right back.
Jim Page, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Well, I really want to thank you for coming in the studio here and sharing your music.
Are we done already? Damn, it seems like I just got here.
Jim's playing again tomorrow, May 18th, 8 p.m., with Michael O'Connelly at the Attic. His new album's been released, or it's on its way out, Head Full of Pictures. He also has a website at jimpage.net. Is that right?
Yep, that's it.
And I was just checking it out a little there. You grew up in just over the hill,
didn't
you?
Hill, San Jose, yeah. Man, hold it against me.
So did you come to Santa Cruz and hang out a lot?
Yeah, well, in the old days, yeah, when it was a surfer town, and it was like low rent and everything else, that, yeah. That's I mean, it still is a surfer town, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, sure. Back when Highway 9 was, I mean, when 17 was 17, you know,
uh-huh.
I had a little Vespa motor scooter that I'd ride around on, you know, and come over here, and I'd take the little, there's a million little roads up in there that you can drive around on.
Yeah.
Great little logging roads and stuff.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I was born in Palo Alto, you know.
Did you start playing guitar around here?
19, yeah, I started playing, let me take us out. I'm going to take you out with one song. Can I do that?
Sure.
You don't mind,
for it. Dude. No, I don't mind at all.
You know, I was going to do a finger-picking song, but I just haven't gotten to, and I'm not going to. I'm going to do this one instead. And this is for Michael. If you're out there listening, I don't know if you are or not, but if you are, this is for you, man. This is how I got into it in San Jose, 15 years old, way back in whatever it was, 1965 or something like that. And thanks for having me on. No one can sing the blues like Lightnin' Hopkins. I don't care what anybody said. I was 15 years old, riding by the passenger window with my radio up against my head. And that's when I heard him for the first time, cutting into the noise of the car. And my whole world turned upside down. I just had to learn to sing and play guitar. I got on my bicycle with the high-rise handlebars, and I would ride for 20 miles on a run. I got every one of his records I could find back then. I had 11 of them by the time I was done. And I never learned to play the blues. I hope that's all right. I never learned to play the blues, but I can sing and play guitar all night. Now all those years later up in Seattle town, Lightning came to playing three nights in a row. I caught up with him early in the dressing room. Somehow I just had to let him know. So I got on my so I took out my guitar and I started playing. And I made him up a song to tell it right, about the radio in the car and all of his records, and how glad I was to meet him that night. And I sang about what he taught me without even knowing it, and all the lessons I still had to learn. And Lightning, he just grinned. Yeah, when I was done, he told me a story in return. And I never learned to play the blues. I hope that's all right. I never learned to play the blues, but I can sing and play guitar all night. He said he was walking around the backwoods down in Texas one time when he was only 12 years old. He was carrying his guitar, was almost as big as he was. He was tired, hungry, and cold. He saw some people was having a picnic, and he asked if he could sing for his meal. They turned him away, he said, because he was too raggedy. He could still remember how it made him feel. Then he looked off into the distance through his dark sunglasses, and he grinned a little more just for chance. He said, now I got money in the bank back home, and they know who I am in France. And I never learned to play the blues. I hope that's all right. I never learned to play the blues. I can sing and play guitar all night.
the lightning died back in 82. I can still remember where I was and how I heard. I was playing the meeting place in Dublin. A local blues singer gave me the word. Now some people, they pass right through you. Maybe they leave a little mark. Some people shine like a light for you sometimes. Help you find your way when it gets dark. Now they say that this world is made of stories. And from these stories, our songs are grown. Sometimes, you know, the songs get so big. You just have to go out and make a song of your own. And I never learned to play the blues. I hope that's all right. I never learned to play the blues, but I can sing and play guitar all night.